right. Well, it's a windy, blustery morning this morning. So, but it's a good day to gather in the house of the Lord. So today our study, I titled it on the worksheet, A Life Worth Imitating. And I thought, you know, Paul probably could have just written Timothy one sentence. Timothy, follow my example and be an example to others. Love, Paul. It's very concise. No, it's not Paul's way, and it has a comma in it. Paul doesn't use much punctuation, if you noticed. He has a lot of really long sentences that should be broken up. Yeah, it's how Paul writes, yeah. So, I wonder what it must have been like for someone to spend time with Paul, to be mentored by Paul, to go on mission with Paul. Intimidating? Maybe inspiring? Frightening? Yeah, probably all those things. Timothy knew Paul well, and he'd been mentored by him. Now Paul was giving Timothy some final instructions, some words of warning and words of encouragement. So question one, think about one or two of the values that your parents or maybe other adults in your life tried to teach you when you were growing up. How have they served you in your life over the years? Linda?
I grew up in a home where my parents went to church regularly. They took us regularly. And my parents were both involved in activities at the church. So I had that surrounding me, and I had some really wonderful. I have one woman I remember who taught the kind of the high school girls and talked about what was right.
Mm-hmm. We have no idea when we're teaching children and teenagers what they might remember, huh?
In my house, my daddy had very high integrity, and they taught us honesty and integrity. And that's carried me a long way in my life.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
They taught me respect of authority.
Mm-hmm. Respect for authority. Yeah. Ooh, we could use some of that.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And always very submissive to whoever was in charge.
Uh-huh.
When we were singing that song just a minute ago, I had a flashback of when I was about 7 years old and sitting in Sunday school and doing a craft. And it was, thy word is a lamp to my feet, uh-huh, and a light to my path. And, you know, it was illustrated with pictures. And I think how that has stuck with me.
Yeah.
Through the years.
My parents actually loved the Lord too. And when we were growing up, we were many, because all the siblings, they all brought their own children into the same grandparent where I stayed, where we lived. And so the issue of church, you must not play with that. If you need to go to church, you better wake up early. You must not be late. Mm-hmm. And it's not going to wait for you and say, oh, hey, Papa, I'm coming. Coming what? You must be there. And as soon as we all come back home, we line up. And be that we are in various classes for the Sunday school or for the church itself. He will ask you, what was the topic of the sermon of today? And then when you say it, if you get it right, then what's your own take home? What do you learn? And are you going to apply this to your life? You know, this really encouraged me so much. Even when I went to high school, I never forget my father for the way he takes us. And because of that, I was able to help my children too. When I start having children, this may bless every one of us. You know, once I have a neighbor, and finally when the baby comes out, and they will not normally wash the baby and then bring the baby back to you. I learned to pray, to lay my hand on that baby and prophesy to that baby there and then before any person lay hands on the baby. And that is because my father also loved prayer. Every little thing you want to do, have you prayed? want to pray first before you start. So that is very encouraging. Don't do anything without letting God know what you want to do. And that will always be a blessing.
Excellent. Yeah, the importance of worship, the importance of learning about God and applying it, and the importance of prayer. Wow.
I was raised by my grandmother, who was a devout Catholic lady. She went to church every single day. And so, though I don't have the same beliefs now, it taught me to love the Lord with all my heart. It taught me kindness, because she was a very kind woman. If we had beans and tortillas, the neighbor had beans and tortillas, because she never liked anybody to go hungry. So she taught me kindness and to love the Lord.
Kindness.
And I carry that with me.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Kindness and generosity, those are wonderful lessons.
One of the things that I learned early on was to have a good work ethic. Mm-hmm. And this scripture verse was one of my favorites. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord and not for human masters.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Some of our jobs that we did were not very encouraging, but if we did it for the Lord, He helped us make it through.
Right. Remember who we're working for, right? Right. Yeah, I know my mother, one of the things I learned from my mother was gratitude. Even in hard times, we didn't have much. I know today how poor we were then. I didn't know then. But we didn't have much, but I learned gratitude for what we did have from my mother. But, you know, in nursing we have a phrase, see one, do one, teach one. You know, you watch somebody do something, then they watch you do it, and then you're able to go and teach someone else. So see one, do one, teach one. And that's really what Paul is doing here with Timothy. He's reminding him, you've seen me do this. I've watched you do this. Now go do this. Right? Okay. So our chapter today begins with a transition word. The word but. Now when someone says the word but, it usually means they're making an exception to what was just said, whether they said it or you said it, or they are making a contrast to what was just said. So for an exception, as an example, I love my grandson, but not his stinky feet. You know, Crocs with bare feet in little boys should be against the law. But a contrast. The weather is beautiful today, but a big storm is coming tonight. Lana, that's not really true, wherever you are, because I know, there you are.
But pray for it.
But we'll still pray for rain, but yeah. I thought, when I wrote that sentence, I thought, I need to make sure Lana doesn't think I'm predicting rain, because I'm not. So it's a contrast, or it's an exception to what was said before. So that means to fully appreciate what Paul is beginning in this chapter, we need to go back to the end of the last chapter and pick up the last few verses. Remember, Paul didn't divide his letter up into chapters and verses. This was done by those who translated the Bible into other languages so that we could find things. Imagine if they hadn't done that. And I want to tell you, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I want to tell you where to find that. How would I tell you? Well, it's in this particular gospel. It's about maybe a third of the way in. And yeah, so it's good that they did that. But sometimes the way they did it may not, you know, totally help us. So we need to make sure that we don't pay too much attention to chapter divisions, and even sometimes verse divisions. We need to pay attention to the words. And so when we see a word like but, or however, or therefore, those types of words, we want to stop and go back and pick up but what, therefore what. So it's important to pay attention to transition words. So we're going to go back and read verses 24 to 26 of chapter 2. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do his will. So Paul has been telling Timothy, share the gospel in love. Be gentle, be compassionate, be patient. Maybe some of those people will come to know Christ. Paul now is giving Timothy a reality check and a warning to prepare him for the challenges that lie ahead. He warns Timothy that there will be, and there are, and there will always be, until Christ comes again, evil people in the world that he should simply avoid. You know, when you're talking with something about someone about something important, whether it is the gospel or if it's, heaven help us, politics, and it comes into an argument, is there any point continuing that discussion? No. People dig in, two sides, that's where they are, and they're too busy thinking of their next argument to listen to what you have to say anyway. And some people have such strong agendas, and they are so filled with anger and hate, that there's no way you can talk to them. And what Paul is telling Timothy here when we get into chapter 3 is, I want you to teach God's word in love and gentleness and patience. But there are some people, just don't waste your breath. There are some people that will do more harm than good. Just walk away. Walk away. He warns him he should simply avoid them and leave them to their own devices. Now, when he starts this third chapter, he makes sure to emphasize what he's about to say. This is something important for Timothy to understand. So he starts with, but understand this. So there's another one of those words we need to pay attention to. Understand this. What's the this? Okay, so we'll read this. He wants to make sure Timothy pays attention and understands what Paul's trying to tell him. This is important. So Paul's going to talk about the last days, and we want to talk about that a little bit before we get into our verses today. So what does Paul mean when he says, in the last days? Well, on the day of Pentecost, Peter declared that the last days had begun by quoting the prophet Joel. When the disciples were heard speaking in different tongues, remember after the Holy Spirit fell upon them and they began speaking in other languages, and the people in Jerusalem were saying, these guys are drunk. Good grief, they're just babbling. Well, some of them couldn't understand what they were saying because it wasn't their language anymore, right? So Peter, in Acts, you can find it in Acts 2, 15 to 17, he explained exactly what was happening and that it was a fulfillment of prophecy. He says, for these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day, it is morning. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And he quotes, and in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. So the last days began on the day of Pentecost. The last days end at the return of Christ. So you could say we're in the laster of the last days, right? It's laster now than it was, right? And people are not evolving, people are devolving, right? We can prove evolution is not true because people are not evolving. They are devolving. Things only get worse. So he wants to make sure that Timothy is prepared for what is going to come. You know, Scripture gives us numerous warnings about the last days and the laster days and the lastest days. And it does that so that we will stay alert and ready. You know, we want to be ready for Christ's return. But it also makes us feel a sense of urgency, right? When we see signs or recognize signs that the last days are progressing along, a sense of urgency to share Christ with those who are lost, right? It should spur us on to make sure that those we know and love and those that God brings into our path and our circle hear the message of salvation, because the days are getting shorter and shorter. But Paul's focus right now in this letter is particularly about the evil people and false teachers that are going to proliferate more and more and impact Timothy's ministry and the church today. There are false teachers in this world today. There are evil people who want to discredit God in the world today. And that's what Paul is warning about. So let's read the first 9 verses
of chapter 3. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. Now the word that's used, that's translated difficulty here, doesn't just mean it's going to be tough, kind of rough. This word is also used for giant storms, right? So it's not, well, it's going to be a little rough patch here. No, it's going to be rough. It's like a big, these people are like a storm. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, you can't please them, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of gentleness, of godliness, but denying its power. Avoid such people. Remind you of anything? That's why I don't participate in Facebook. If you friended me on Facebook, you say, well, where is she? I don't participate. I just look. But I don't participate because whew, it can get ugly out there. So he tells him, just avoid these people. These people are not worth your time. That's not where you need to be focused. You focus on people that God is through the Holy Spirit, is working on their hearts to make them receptive to hearing the word of God. And these people, God deals with, right? Now, could some of these people have a change of heart and change their ways? It's possible. All things are possible, right? But that would be the work of the Holy Spirit, not the work of Timothy. We'll continue reading. For among them are those who creep into households and capture weak women, burdened with sin and led astray by various passions, always learning and never able to arrive at the knowledge of truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also opposed the truth. Men corrupted in mind and disqualified regarding the faith, they will not get very far. For their folly will be plain to all, as was that of those two men. So Paul doesn't mince words, does he? You know, he has a sense of urgency. He knows he's about to be killed. He knows Timothy's going to be left without Paul's guidance. So he wants to make sure that he is very clear and almost brutally honest about what is going to be happening. So on question 2, we've kind of talked about what people will be like in the last days, but how might this actually give Timothy hope? Anybody think of how this might actually give Timothy hope, what Paul has said in this section?
Well, I think the most important one...
Put it to your back. There you go.
Okay. The one that stuck out to me was when he said, but they will not get very far.
Uh-huh.
They're going to do all this stuff, but they're not going to get very far.
Right. Yeah. God will take care of them. They'll eventually be found out. And aren't they, though? If you look in the world today and there are false teachers or evil people, and eventually they're found out. Right. And Beth?
I think it's a sign that the second coming is closer.
Ah, yeah. Gives us hope, doesn't it? Yeah. The worse it gets, the closer it gets. So we can rejoice sometimes when we see how bad the world is. I mean, there are days when, honestly, I make the mistake of reading the news, and then all I can say is, look up, because surely he's coming today, right? Surely. All right. So these people are false teachers and evil people who might look and sound like Christians, but on closer inspection, it reveals their true nature. They're evil imposters with their own selfish agendas. Some are so controlled by their own passions that they seek to deceive others and draw them into sin with them, right? Still others, they hate the truth. And they actively work to discredit the word of God. So Timothy was to avoid them. Don't associate with them. Leave them to their own end. God will take care of them. The good news is, they will all eventually fail and be revealed as just what they are. So question 3, what are some of the ways that society tries to beguile us today if we don't stay strong in the word? What are some of the ways society, what's out there?
I just see that we can see so much of whatever's going around the world, but people use TV and that thing, things to make things, they look beautiful. They make having the best car appealing, doing this for your children, but that's what pulls you is when you start listening to that. And I think advertising is really nasty sometimes.
It can be. What was brought to my mind is, I guess you could call it fake empathy or compassion without the truth. I mean, that women especially are vulnerable to feeling pity or compassion for people to the point where they are affirming them in their sin. And I think it's really, really widespread. But I think they call it fake empathy or suicidal empathy, and it's just taken too far, where there's plenty of love, but there's no truth.
Yeah, and is love without truth love, right?
What I see happening is people accepting lies as truth and being easily swayed, and then people that are not strong in their faith are easily swayed, and then what's concerns me, I think, the most is how many people see wrong as right. Society has gotten so accepting of sin that they don't recognize sin for what it is.
Yeah, well, that's biblical, right? Doesn't Scripture tell us that men will call good evil and evil good, right? And isn't that happening today? So Paul gives them an example, which sometimes we can take exception to and say, hey, they're picking on the women, right? But he gives an example of
evil men who lead weak women astray. So, one, keep in mind that in Paul's day, you know, women were weak. They had no real power. They had no authority. They had no rights. And for the most part, they stayed home. The men went off and studied the Torah and talked about, you know, the prophecies and different things. The women, they stayed home and took care of the family. But the fact of the matter is that anyone who's weak in faith and or burdened by sin, maybe feeling guilty, becomes very vulnerable to someone who wants to take advantage of them. So another thing he says here that I found really interesting and concerning, he also points out that those who are always learning but never able to arrive at knowledge of truth. You know, there are so many people, it's just so sad, there are so many people, they're seeking truth in all the wrong places and from all the wrong people. And they can have PhDs after their name, but they're lost as a goose. They have no idea of what the truth is. So now we come to another transition as Paul begins with verse 10. With you, however, so there's that word, however. We need to pay attention to that. Now, so however, you're not like this group of people who are vulnerable, and you're not like these evil people who are looking to lead someone astray. What do you need to do now that I've given you this warning? You, however. So let's read to the end of the chapter. You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions, my sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, which persecutions I endured, yet from all of them the Lord rescued me. So he said, I had to go through those persecutions. I had to endure them, but God ultimately rescued me. Kind of poignant that he's writing this from a prison cell in Rome, from which he knows his only escape is going to be death. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and impostor will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture
is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. All scripture. Now remember, when he's writing this, the only thing they had written as scripture was, one, all of the Old Testament. That was scripture, and that is scripture, and it is important that we study the Word of God completely, with the Old Testament included. And they had the letters that Paul had written, and perhaps by now they have letters from Peter, and eventually they're going to have things from John and the other disciples, but they hadn't been compiled. They didn't have this, right? And they didn't have all the study guides and the concordances, and they didn't have Google. So we have all of these things that we can utilize to help us in our study, but they didn't have that. So in question 4, what did you find in these verses we read to help you answer question 4 on your worksheet, which is, how can we as Christ followers protect ourselves from those evil influences in the world today? How do we protect ourselves?
Mm-hmm. We can go to worship with other believers.
Absolutely. You know, God didn't want us to get together just so we'd have a good time and make friends. We get together because he knew we'd need each other for support and encouragement and learning and all those reasons why we get together.
Anything else? I wrote down, be grounded in scripture, and that kind of ties in with the armor of God.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Put on the full armor of God. And you know, scripture gives us what we need. We just need to look and learn and apply it to our lives, right? So Timothy knew what Paul had taught, both in word and by his actions. One way Timothy could be assured that Paul's faith was authentic was by the suffering and hardship that Paul had saw him endure those things. You know, people won't suffer much for something they don't believe in place, right? One of the ways we can know that Jesus Christ was the Son of God who died on the cross and rose again on the third day and lives gloriously at the right hand of God is because all of his disciples linked to that fact. There's not many things I'd be willing to die for, right? I'm willing to die for that fact so we can know it's true. So Paul reminds Timothy of 3 particular times that were particularly difficult. Antioch, that's in Acts 13:50. It says, but the Jews incited the devout women and of high standing and the leading men of the city, stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and drove them out of the city. In Iconium, Acts 14:5-6, when an attempt was made by both Gentiles and Jews with their rulers to mistreat them and stone them, they learned it and fled. And it gets even worse in Lystra. And remember, Lystra is Timothy's hometown. This is where Timothy grew up. So we know he was there and saw this one. But Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and having persuaded the crowds, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing he was dead. So they left him for dead outside the city walls. So Paul's life was a strong testimony and an example as he stayed true to the faith. But Paul was also repeating a warning he's given many times before in other letters. All who desire to follow Jesus will experience suffering. Now, some of that suffering may be fairly light. Thank the Lord for that. Some of that suffering will be severe. If you read the news about Kenya, places where Christians are literally being herded out and martyred for their faith, it's happening today. This should break all of our hearts, what is happening to Christians around the world. It should also convict us. These are people who are willing to die rather than deny Christ. Sometimes I'm not willing to go into a difficult conversation with someone about Christ because I'm afraid she won't like me anymore. Ooh, is that convicting or what? So yes, Christians are suffering today, and the times are not going to get any better. In the United States, sometimes the worst thing that happens to us is we get our feelings hurt.
But it is terrible. So he's telling Timothy, be prepared, Timothy. Don't let anyone take you by surprise, Timothy. Stand strong, Timothy, on the truth that you learned from childhood. Stay in the Word, Timothy. Speaking of the Word, question 7 says, what does it mean to you when Paul says in verse 16 that all Scripture is God-breathed and profitable? What does that mean to you? What does God-breathed mean?
It just, to me, it just says, He's right with us, and He hears us, sees us, and He longs for us to love Him and to see Him.
Mm. Good, thank you.
The Scripture, the Word of God. Find yourself in any situation. That is the Word of God that you can make use of at that period to allow your faith to rest upon the Lord Jesus. And that we can see that that's why they refer to that word that is profitable to us. When we are talking of profit, benefit, gain, that is what the Word of God is to us. When we are healed, we can use the Word of God by the stripe of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am healed. And you don't know the miracle that God just used the power of word to go through. With the Holy Spirit of God helping, you just get your, you see that you get it. So it is profitable.
Glory to God, it is profitable.
Yeah, and you know, God used human beings to write His word, but it was His word they wrote. Right? And we need to remember that. Paul didn't think up all this stuff on his own, right?
Right.
And I think he would be the first one to admit it. And look, dude, these aren't my words. These are God's words through me. This is what God told me to say. There were times when some of the prophets, I'm sure, thought, God, I don't want to say that. If I say that, it's going to get me killed. But that's what God wanted them to say. So look at the first word of that verse 16. That first word, another three-letter word that's so important. The word all. All Scripture. We're not to skip around. We're not to pick and choose which verses we like or make us feel good or that we agree with and skip the ones that make us a little squirmy, uncomfortable. Those are probably the ones we need to sit on a while, right? All Scripture is given by God for a purpose. And He lists four purposes there. It's given for teaching. This is doctrine. This is truth. What we can know is true is in this book. Question everything else you hear, but this is truth. In fact, when you hear something goofy, go back to this book.
Yes.
Right? Anybody can misinterpret if they're not careful. So even if you're hearing your favorite preacher or your favorite teacher say something and you think, is that really what it says? Well, that's your responsibility. Go back to this book. Go back to this book and find out. So teaching, doctrine, truth, what we can know about God. Reproof or conviction, revealing our sins. As we're reading that, those scriptures that you go, ooh, yeah, well, that's because I did that yesterday, right? Conviction, correction. So it doesn't just reveal our sin, but it helps us change our direction. You shouldn't be doing that. You should be doing this. Helps us change our direction, turns us back from the error of our ways or from straying too far from God. And training in righteousness. Instruction on how we are to live our lives. This is a handbook for life. This book tells us this is how you should live as a child of God. This is how someone would know and recognize you as a child of God. This is how you recognize someone else as a child of God. And this is how you recognize someone who's a child of Satan. It's this book. This only works if we earnestly seek to know and follow. Max Lucado said, but merely knowing that God's word has been given to accomplish these things, these purposes, is not enough. We must actually submit our lives to God's word by obeying it. Satan knows God's word, but he doesn't submit to it, right? Paul was Timothy's mentor, someone the young pastor could trust and whose example he could follow.
It's been said in the Christian ministry circles, if you communicate from your head, you might change someone's mind. If you communicate from someone's heart, from your heart, you might change someone's attitude. But if you communicate from your life, you might change someone's life. So the question is, whose life are you impacting by how you're living? I did use Google this morning and asked for verses, Bible verses that tell us about studying God's Word. Now, you'll be glad to know I didn't print them all off because there are a lot. But we have time, so I want to read a few of them. The first one is the one we sang this morning. That's from Psalm 119:105. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. The world can be a dark place, but the word gives us the light, right? 2 Timothy 2:15, just the previous chapter. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. Rightly handling it. Learn how to study it. Apply it. Know how to share it. Acts 17:11. Now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. So as Paul was teaching them, they were scrambling through the scrolls of Old Testament prophets to say, is that really true? And they found out it was. Joshua, we can go all the way back to Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate it on day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Romans 15:4. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joint and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. That's when we get the squirmies when we're reading, right? It's really piercing us. And the last one. Let the word of Christ, this is Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And I'd like to read that one more time and leave that as our prayer for today. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your heart to God. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for this class above all, Father God. Thank you for your word that leads us to just be closer to you, Father God, because we need you so much. This broken world is so dark right now, Father God, but we are your light. Teach us, Father God. Show us. Help us to be your light. To go out today and shine. Shine so brightly that people just want to know why. People want to know you, Father God. They're just afraid. Father God, allow us and help us to not be dark, but to be your light. To just glow. Father God, help us in every way that you can. You know all of our hearts' concerns and needs. Father God, guide us in your ways. Help us to be close to Jesus. Help us to share him with all the world. Father God, that is my one thing that I want to learn, to just share him more. Help us to be good disciples and make good disciples of this world. We love you and we thank you for this day. We thank you for every single lady that is here. We thank you for everybody who is not here. Above all, we thank you for your son, Jesus. And we just love you so much, Father God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.